Welcome. We're glad you're here. You're about to hear the teaching of Pastor Randy Castillo from Harvest Bible Church in Mojave Valley, Arizona. Please enjoy our website at hbcaz.org. So get ready. Find your Bible. Open your heart. Here is Pastor Randy.
Well, hey, good morning. How are you all doing? You groovy? Far out and funky? Awesome. Okay, hey, got a couple announcements for you. First of all, don't forget, tomorrow night is women's study and men's study. I will be taking over the men for a few weeks, so I'll put you guys through the ringer. Be prepared. but also, we have our women's study. And then, of course, our women's study is repeated on Thursday, Thursday morning at 9, if you miss Monday night. Also, keep in mind that we have ample opportunities for you to get involved, for you to have an area to serve. I would suggest that you fill out a connection card. Now, those of you who fill out the cards, I want you to know that you will be called this week. I want to thank you for that. And for those of you who've already filled out cards during this message, you could go, I already did it. You'll see what I mean by when we get through it. But hey, also on your seat, were these two Revelation cards. We're going to start the book of Revelation on August 16th, because although we're in the last chapter of Acts, next week we'll finish it. We will not be able to finish it today. So then the following week we'll start Revelation. Now here's the thing. August 16th, I told the Wednesday night group this. August 16th, if you didn't know, it commemorates Elvis Presley's death. So know this, the king of rock and roll is dead, but the king of kings is alive, and we're going to be talking about him in the book of Revelation. So here's what I'd like you to do. Imagine this, if each one of us invited two people who are out there right now thinking this, are we in the last days? What does the Bible say about all the stuff that's going on in the world right now? Is there any hope? What is going on? And I want you to know, we are in the last days, folks. I don't know how many days, you know, if we got a year, 2 years, but I'll tell you, every pastor I know is in agreement that things are crazy, and it's amazing how much you're going to see in the book of Revelation. So prepare your hearts for that. Hand these out. Now, here's the thing. If you don't think you'll hand these out, just leave them there till next week. Or Wednesday night, someone else will take them. I'd like to see every one of these cards get put in somebody's hand. So be praying. Be praying who God wants you to give. Now, God wants you to give cards to. Now, here's the other thing. If you know you'll pass these out, go ahead and on a couple of the empty seats, grab some extra ones. Take them with you. We have another pile back there. I'd just like to see them all gone, and I'd like to see as many people invited as possible. And don't forget to pray that God would use these in a mighty way and that they would fall into the hands of people who really are looking for some hope and some answers. All right, with that, open your Bibles to Acts chapter 28, the last chapter. We're only going to do 10 verses. I've entitled our message this morning, Death, Where is Your Sting? And you'll see why. We have the villagers in verse 1 through 2. We have the viper in verse 3 through 6. And then we have a vaccine, not quite what you're thinking, in verse 7 through 10. Now, real quick, let me pray. And I just want to pray for myself that I would hear from God and we would learn something. Father God, Lord, speak through me. Lord, help me to decrease, you increase, Lord. Holy Spirit, teach us all, including myself, teach us this morning what to do with your word and how to understand our calling by you, Lord Jesus. And so, Lord, we ask these things in the precious and amazing name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All right, up to speed. Paul is a prisoner. He's being shipped to Rome. He knows that Rome is going to be the end of his life. He'll spend a couple of years there, and then he will die, and we'll look at that in a little bit more detail next week. But I want you to realize that Paul has been on the ship. They have now been blown way off course. They've gone through a storm that lasted 2 weeks. which is incredible. And then I want you to hang on your belt. Oh, death, where is your sting? That should be the underlying theme behind this whole message. Now, that phrase actually comes from 1 Corinthians 15, verse 55, where Paul says, where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? He asks that question, and that's going to be our backdrop for this. Now, Paul, not only did he write that question out, but he is going to live that question out. Listen, it's easy. It's easy to preach. It is. But it's another thing to practice what you preach. See, we can all preach. We can all talk about what the Bible says and do this and do that and don't do this and do that, but we need to live it out. Realize this, godly power is in our obedience. That's where godly power lies. God is glorified in our obedience. God is not glorified in our words. Now, if our words match our obedience, then our words have power. But if we say words and our obedience isn't there, there is no power. None at all. So, Paul, on a ship, has been tossed around. An angel came to him, and we'll look at that in detail. But now, they are swimming for their lives. Remember, he said, send some to swim, and everyone else, the ship is being torn apart, and they are trying to make it to shore. And the storm is still brewing. Understand that. It's not calm now, even though they're coming to land. So let's look at the villagers in verse 1 through 2. Now, when they had escaped the boat, they found out that the island was called Malta. Now, notice it says, when they had escaped. Remember that the guards wanted to kill the prisoners. The prisoners are headed to Rome. In Rome, most likely, they would be put in the arena, in the Colosseum, and they would have to fight gladiators. And they would have to fight lions, and basically they become entertainment. They're ripped apart. The ship's being torn apart, so he says, hey, don't kill the prisoners. Paul says, no, the angel said all 276 of the people on the boat will survive, every single one of them. So no one should be killed. So the captain, the officer, says, all right, anyone able to swim, just go. Don't worry about the prisoners. So, of course, all of the soldiers, that's part of their training, is to be able to be good swimmers. So they go overboard. So now we've got prisoners. We've got other people who aren't able to swim. They grab boards, and then they go all the way into shore. Now, this is the invention of surfing right there, the very first surfboard. And they're just hanging 10. No, not really. Actually, what they're doing is they're grabbing planks. So this is the invention of planking. No, not that either. No, basically, these guys are just fending for their life. They're just trying to make it to shore. They're grabbing boxes, anything that'll float. So now, when they had escaped, they found out that the island was called Malta. Now, Malta is also called Mileta. It has two different names. It's the same thing, just two different languages. It means honey, sweet, a sweet land, a sweet island. It also means refuge. How appropriate that these guys would come to an island called refuge. And listen, God's planning is always for a purpose, and we'll see spiritual principles in this. But this island, it's not very big. It's about 16 or 17 miles long and about 8 or 9 miles wide. So it's kind of like a cigar-shaped, football-shaped kind of island. Little island, not very big. Now, remember that they have been blown off course 500 miles in 2 weeks. Now, we go, wow, they are way off course. Not really. In fact, they're not off course at all. They're only off course as far as they are concerned. God has them right where he wants them. Listen, such is the call of God. Many times I have sought to do the will of God, and I found myself, my life seems to be off course, and God's going, it's not off course, bro. You're right where I want you. But that's not what you told me. No. I told you I'm going to get you to point A. I didn't say what was going to happen in between there. I was like, oh, okay. Listen, but maybe you are trying to obey God's word and you're in a storm. Listen, God always has a place of refuge in mind. He has a Malta for your life. We'll see this. Watch verse 2. And the natives showed us unusual kindness, for they kindled a fire and made us all welcome because of the rain that had fallen and because of the cold. Remember this, it's after November, so it's cold. November's cold, and you have the storm, and they're out in the water. Now, here where it says the natives, some of your translations, like especially if you have like the King James, it says a barbarous people. People who didn't speak Greek, the Greeks would often call them barbars, because to them, any language other than Greek sounded like barbar. Barbar, 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 barbar. So they called them barbars. And it's kind of like barbarian type thing. But these people are not barbarians at all. They show an unusual kindness. Listen, although they are not civilized, they are civil. Civilization doesn't always equal civility. How do we know this? Just look around. America is civilized, but man, oh man, there's not a civility. You look around and you go, wow, are we civilized? Are we evolved? Huh. Now do this. Hang this on your belt as well. Hang this, that there are 276 scared, wet, tired, cold, hungry. Most of the men are heading to Rome to die for their crimes. And these villagers see them and they're kind to them. They're nice to them. They're seeking to warm them by the fire. Now, it could have been worse. It could have been, rather than trying to warm them by the fire, the villagers could be trying to cook them in the fire. But they're not. So thanks be to God that these barbars aren't bad, okay? But so these prisoners, they thought they were going to die on the boat. Now they're on land. Now they got some nice villagers. And here's where we have the viper in verse 3 through 6. But when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks. Now stop right there. Paul, look at his humility. Look at the heart of Paul. Listen, do you realize at this point, Paul is captain of the ship. He's been calling the shots. You notice that? He's a prisoner, but he's calling the shots. Interesting. Paul could have said, you know what, dudes? Villagers, thank you for starting the fire. I'm just going to sit here. You ever been wet when it's cold? You ever, like, your feet start to go numb and you, like, step and the little bubbles come out your tennis shoes? You know, your feet are numb, your hands are numb, your ears are. Now imagine 2 weeks, day and night, like that. And now these guys are on shore and these nice villagers, these barbars, are making a campfire for them. Man, I'd want to stay by the warm fire, right? Paul could have said, look, villagers, we're shipwrecked. Why don't you guys continue making them? Or how about this? How about you let these guilty prisoners? I'm not guilty. I have not been charged with anything. Why don't you let the guilty prisoners go and do some work? Or how about this? You big, tough, strong Roman soldiers. You're strong. You're buff. Why don't you guys do this? Besides that, I'm Paul. I'm the man of God, remember? I'm the one who said we shouldn't go this way, remember? I'm the one that angels come and speak to and said that we're all going to live. Why don't I just sit by the fire and wait for another angel to come? No, he doesn't say that. Listen, Paul is up in age. He's over 60 years old. He can't see well. Remember, he has an eye problem, a serious sight problem. We know that. He's cold, he's wet, he's exhausted, but Paul is serving. Instead of sitting by the fire warming himself, he's selfless and he's going out and picking up sticks to throw in the fire. Paul is always, here you go, Paul is always seeking to warm others. Isn't that the purpose of Christianity? Or shouldn't it be the purpose of Christianity? Shouldn't we always be seeking to warm others, to encourage others, to serve others? We should. We should do that. Now, you understand this? Anyone can serve. Anybody could do it. But listen, you have to serve with a servant's heart. Why? Because otherwise you're going to burn out, you're going to get bummed out, and then you're going to bail out. You can't do that. Anybody can go, okay, you know what, Pastor Randy, you're making me feel guilty. I guess I'll serve. Don't serve. You must serve because you have a heart to warm others, to bless others. That's why Paul, no one's asking Paul to do it. He's not under any obligation. He does it out of the kindness. He actually does it because he has the Holy Spirit in his heart. Listen, Paul was in a storm. You know the Christian walk can get rough? You're like, no, Pastor, I didn't know that. Yes, sometimes the Christian walk can feel very lonely and cold. Sometimes it's that salt water even leaves a nasty taste in your mouth. You get involved in ministry and all of a sudden there's this nasty taste in your mouth. Listen, I'll tell you, I'll be honest with you. There are some days that ministry just isn't all that fun. But I'm called to it. I live for it. So though, you know, I may be cold and tired and exhausted, I still want to warm you. Because that's the call of God. Huh. There was this very famous book. If I told you who the author was, you'd know right away. It's a very famous pastor. It's not who you think. If most people go right away to Joel Osteen. It's not Joel Osteen. But there's this very famous pastor, and he wrote a very, very famous book. If I told you his name, you'd know who I was talking about. But I read this book, and there were several problems with it theologically, but there was one thing that stuck out at me and just really just upset me when I read this. Here's what it said. If you are doing something and it isn't working out, do something else. Thank God Paul didn't read that book. If Paul had read that book, we wouldn't have Galatians and Philippians and Romans. We wouldn't have any of that. He wouldn't be in this ship. He wouldn't. The first time they beat him, the first time they whipped him, he would have said, I'm out. I tried this and I'm out. Why didn't Paul bail? Because he wasn't just doing something. What Paul was doing, he was called by God to do it. You see, the book should read this. If God didn't call you and you're doing something, then you best stop it. Listen, if I'm doing something because I feel like I should be doing it, not because God's called me to do it, and then all of a sudden it gets rough, it gets hard, and I'm like, I want to quit. And God's going, yeah, I want you to quit. I didn't ask you to do that. Brothers and sisters, hear me on this. But if God calls you to do something, it doesn't matter how strong the storm is that comes against you. It doesn't matter if your ship seems like it's falling apart under you. God has a plan and you need to stay the course. Because listen, the moment you sign up for God's army, guess who's going to attack? The enemy. Listen, Paul is serving. You know what Paul knows? Paul knows when he goes to Rome, that's it. His life is going to end. Listen, he'll write to Timothy and he'll say this, for I'm already being poured out a drink offering and my time of my departure is at hand. He's not saying he's sailing off. He's saying his departure to go to heaven. He's saying I'm being poured out a drink offering. He's saying my life is being poured out. But listen to this. It's being poured out what? An offering. An offering to who? To the Lord Jesus Christ. See, Paul understands this. Oh, death, where is your sting? There is no sting of death. Why? Because death is a reward. Paul, oh gosh, Paul is like the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? He has the Holy Spirit in him. He is yielding to the Holy Spirit. He's doing what God wants him to do. The Lord Jesus Christ, remember this? He was tired. The disciples are tired. They've been serving all day long. Finally, it's dinner time. All of a sudden, there's this huge crowd. And the disciples are like, we're tired. We want some Jesus time. We want to get something to eat. Why don't we send them away? We can deal with them tomorrow. And Jesus says, no. I want to warm their hearts. Have them all sit down. And we're going to feed them. And the guys are like, we don't have anything to feed them. He goes, what do you have? Well, we got this little boy's lunch. And then Jesus proceeds to feed 15 to 20,000 people. And the disciples are the ones that have to distribute it. But Jesus is using his power to do it. Wow. Or how about this? On the night before he's going to be brutally murdered. And he's going to be betrayed by his best friend. He gets on his hands and knees. And he takes the lowest, dirtiest, stinkiest job. And he's God. And he's going to die tomorrow. And he's not like, oh, guys, I'm going to die. It's going to be awful. No, he's like, hey, guys, let me wash your feet. He's warming their hearts. He's blessing them. And then, oh, on the cross, he's been ripped to shreds. He's got the nails through his hands and his wrists. He's hanging there naked. He's been spit on. He's been ripped to shreds. It's so bad. Go read a medical journal on what he experienced on the cross. It's horrendous. And he's on the cross, and he says to his mother, woman, there is your son, John. John, there is your mother. He's more concerned about his mom than he is. He's not concerned about himself. He's like, mom, you know, men in war, often they say that men at war, big, brutal, buff men, when they're at war, oftentimes they cry for their moms because they're scared. Jesus Christ is on the cross and he cries out, mom, John, take care of my mom. He's not looking out for himself at all. Here, Paul is being just like Christ. That's why Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Paul is following Christ. He's not consumed with himself. He's a servant till the end. How are you? Do you have the Spirit of Jesus in you? Because if you have the Spirit of Jesus, the natural byproduct is to warm others, to bless others, and to not think about the storm you're in, the cold you feel, the nasty taste of salt in your mouth. Paul understands that this life is temporary. So look at this. So he went and gathered some sticks. He's serving. And he laid them on the fire, and a viper came out, not a dodge. A viper came out because of the heat and fastened on his hand. Snakes, when it's cold, they hibernate. You know, Satan, he doesn't play fair. He'll use storms. He'll use shipwrecks. He'll use sneaky snakes. Paul is serving. Listen, when we want to serve, that's when the serpent strikes. The serpent will attack when you start to serve. Someone will say, well, Pastor Randy, great. If the serpent attacks when I serve, why in the world would I want to serve? I'll just sit back and go watch some ESPN. Well, you can't. There's nothing going on. It's COVID. But anyways, neener. No, I'm just teasing. Do me a favor. You need to see this. Turn over to Proverbs 14. Proverbs 14, verse 4. Very interesting verse. In Proverbs 14, verse 4, listen to what it says. Where no oxen are, the trough is clean. The barn is clean. But much increase comes by the strength of an ox. What he's saying is this. Where there's no ox, your barn, it's clean. There's no nasty smell. But nothing is being accomplished. But and an ox where there is a barn. If you have ministry going on in your life, listen, sometimes ministry can feel like it smells. It's like, oh gosh, this is not. This is a storm. This feels like a shipwreck. This feels like I've been bitten by a viper. But sometimes it smells, but there's much productivity. That's what he's saying. He's saying where there is an ox, there's productivity. Without ministry, there's no glory in your life. In the Bible, it says this. When we go before God's throne as Christians, we're going to have this, our works. Gold, silver, and precious stone. Or wood, hay, and straw. And it's going to be put in the fire, tested by fire. What happens when you put wood, hay, and straw in fire? It burns up. It's ash. What happens if you put gold, silver, and precious stone in fire? Nothing. It just refines it. It does nothing. Well, here's the thing. When you and I, we go to heaven, some of us are going to have gold, silver, precious stones because we did works with the right heart. Some of us are going to have wood, hay, and straw, and it's going to get burned up because we were doing it to please ourselves. And then some of us are going to have a cart with nothing in it. Now, here's the thing. If you have a cart with some gold, silver, and precious stone, that's going to be fashioned into a crown of glory for you. And you're going to put it on. And then you're going to see Jesus. And you're going to realize that nothing you did could be done without him, and it was for him, and it was because of him, and it was through him, for I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, but without him I can do nothing. And you're going to take that crown, and you're going to give it to him as a form of glory. And so here's going to be some people, they're going to be there, yay, Jesus! And then the person next to him is going to throw a crown, and the person next to him is going to throw 10 crowns, and they're going to go, oh, I don't have, well, yay, you're still saved. You're just going to have no glory to offer to Christ. So he's saying here is without an ox in the stable and maybe clean. Let me read that same verse, Proverbs 14, verse 4. Let me read it from the New Living Translation. I like the way it's written. Without an ox in the stable, without an ox, a stable stays clean. But you need an ox for a large harvest. The Bible says the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Because most people don't want the shipwreck. Most people don't want the salt and the cold. And they don't want the discomfort. But the walk with Christ is discomfort at times. Now, understand, sometimes I want to say, you know what? I don't care if you serve or not, but that would be a lie because I do care. You want to know why? Because God has called me to care. That's why I'm a pastor. My call is to teach you and to encourage you and to set an example by my service for you to follow. I'm to say like Paul, follow me as I follow Christ. So listen, when it's all said and done, some of us will have glory to throw before Christ. Some of us will have works, but they got burned up. And some of us will have nothing, but at least we'll be there. But as a pastor, my desire is for you to mature. I like what one person said. He said this, after all is said and done, there is more said than done. But understand this, Paul, sometimes we think of Paul as like a mini Jesus, you know, he's a super guy. He's like a superhero. He's not. He's a regular, short, Jewish, at this point, an older man, unibrow, big nose, just poor eyesight. It's not doing good. This is the description of Paul. I'm not making fun of him. But Paul was told by God to go to Rome. And on his way to Rome, he's been in chains, he's been beaten, he's been in a storm, and now he's got a snake on him, there's lions and tigers and bears, oh my. But what do we not see Paul doing? We don't see Paul throwing a pity party and saying, oh, God, why now a snake? Oh, man, a poisonous snake. What next? Lord, poor me. I give up. I quit. No, no, we don't see that at all. Watch what we see Paul. Verse 4. So when the natives, the barbars, saw the creature hanging from his hand. Now remember, Paul can't see real well. Maybe he thought it was a thorn on a stick. It's like, oh, it's stuck. You ever have that? I've had a stick stuck to my hand. But except this one's wiggling. And they said to one another, look at this. No doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he escaped the sea, yet justice does not allow to live. Wow. See, first they saw him. Oh, look at the poor shipwrecked dudes. But now that he's bit by a viper, well, they were shipwrecked because God wants this guy dead. Sure, he made it through the sea, but now he's being bit by a snake. Did you catch that? They think that some justice is being poured upon him by some higher power. These are primitive islanders. They know nothing of God's law. But you know what Romans says? Romans says that God has written his law on our hearts. And here's proof. Their conscience says he's done something wrong. He has to pay for it. Do you realize that's the cross of Christ? For the wages of sin is death. They're saying he's committed murder. That's why his payment is death. But Jesus says, tetelestai. When he's on the cross, he said, tetelestai. You know what that means? Paid in full. What? My payment for my sin. Oh, death, where is your sting? There is no sting because Christ has defeated it. But notice here, their conscience tells them there must be something. They've never heard the gospel. They've never heard the Bible. They're islanders. But on their heart, God's law is written. Now, they call him a murderer. Notice that Paul didn't get mad and defend himself. How dare you call me a murderer? Do you know I'm Paul? You know angels talk to me? He didn't say anything like that. Look what he does. Verse 5. But he shook off the creature into the fire and suffered no harm. You know what that tells me? When the enemy bites, keep serving. Keep serving. That's exactly what's going to happen. That's exactly what, when you sign up to serve, the enemy's going to attack. Why? Because now you're a threat. But look what he did. He shook off their accusations. Oh, you're a murderer and now you're going to die. He shook that off. And he shook off the bite that could have murdered him. He'll have no part of that. Why? Because he has eternal life. I remember when I was much younger, I loved fighting. I loved boxing. I loved martial arts. I love contact sports. Well, I remember in the fighting, one of the things that's very important to do is spar. And I love to spar. And I remember one time I got kicked in the head. One of those kicks where you hear a loud crack and then you see beautiful colors. And I remember my trainer came up to me and he was checking to see if I was okay. He was like, Randy, he goes, do you know your name? I go, yeah, I'm Randy. He goes, do you know where you live? I go, yeah, I want to be there right now. And then he said, get up and shake it off. What'd that mean? That means get up and shake it off and get back. And I was like, shake it off? It felt like he wanted to kick it off, kick my head off my shoulder. No, listen, he's saying get back to it. Get back to your training. Keep going. Don't give up. You're going to get kicked. You're going to get hit. It's going to happen. If you're in the fight, fight the good fight of faith. If you're in the fight, guess what's going to happen? You're going to take some hits. It's par for the course. Shake it off and keep going. Paul isn't discouraged. God, I have enough already. Prisoner, storm, shipwreck, now sneaky snake. I don't want it. No, not at all. Do me a favor. Turn to Mark chapter 6. I want to show you something here. Mark chapter 6, verse 15 through 18. Mark chapter 16, verse 15 through 18. Did I say 6? I'm sorry. I'm dyslexic. I didn't see the 1. It was hiding behind the 4. Some of you got that. I'm pray for the rest of you. Okay, Mark 16, verse 15. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's what Paul's intent is, even here on this island. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. Look at this. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. So listen, you see, hear what he said? He said, listen, you can take up a poisonous viper, and it bites you, and it won't hurt you. So here's what the ushers are going to pass out, some snakes, and you get to choose the one you like. No, I'm joking. Listen, did you know, I don't know if you know this, but over in Texas, I haven't seen any out here, but in Texas, there are churches where they dance around with poisonous vipers. Listen, and they drink poison. And people die in those churches. Not die to themselves, they die. Double die. Not good. That's crazy. That's not what it's saying. Listen, it says, we know this is occasional, and we know this is based on the Holy Spirit, because you can do a whole study on the gifts of the Spirit. But it's saying this, there will be times you'll run into someone who has a demon, and you may pray for them and cast it out. It's not going to be every time. You may speak in tongues, in a new tongue. It's not going to be every Christian. How many in here can speak in tongues? Okay, but not everybody. Or which would stand to reason, because if you think that everyone needs to speak in tongues, then you need to be one of those churches that everybody picks up serpents and everyone drinks poison. See how that doesn't work? This is talking about, hey, listen, if you're like Paul, you're serving, you pick up some sticks, you get bit, nothing will help you. Listen, back in Houston, we took the youth out to the lake, and one of the youth got bit by a water moccasin on the calf. Very poisonous. You could see the 2 viper punctures of its fangs. The only kind of snakes that have fangs are vipers, are poisonous. So we take them to the hospital. Get to the hospital. Doctors are like, are you sure this was a snake? I'm like, look at the fang holes. Yes, those are fang holes, but there's no swelling. There's no redness. There's nothing. We were there for, it took us like 30 minutes to get there. We were there for a couple hours. No redness, no swelling, nothing. It's like the snake just took a drink, you know, a vampire, sucked on its calf, took some blood, said, okay, I'm done. Vampire snake. No, it was a water moccasin. Now, I'm not going to go and take a bunch of youth and say, hey, let's go get some snakes, everyone. Let's get bit. No, but if it happens and God is with you, the snake's not going to hurt you, like Paul. He shook it into the fire. I love that. Why? He didn't take the snake and go, oh, you poor snake, let me let you loose in its wild habitat. My daughters, both my daughters, they would do that. They find a poisonous something in their house. They don't crush it. They pick it up and they take it outside and run free, little poisonous thing. The SPCA would have a field day with Paul. He took that snake and he shook it in the fire. Listen, I can hang with Paul. I'm like, yeah, man, kill that thing. Listen, I love animals. I do. They're delicious. But anyways, verse 6. However, so he gets bit. They see it. You must be a murderer. However, they expected that he would swell up. Or suddenly fall dead. We know that snake. We've seen other people bit by that snake. But after they took a very long time, saw no harm come to him, they changed their mind and said he was a God. What? That guy's a murderer! Murderer! Or he's a god. Wow. They are getting some kind of exercise jumping to conclusions, wouldn't you say? Poor guy. First they see him shipwrecked, and they're going, oh, look at those poor people. They're shipwrecked. Oh, he got bit. He must be a murderer. Oh, it didn't kill him. Must be a god. Man, they are flip-flopping around. Remember Jesus? Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. He healed us. He fed us. He taught us. Yay, Jesus. A couple days later, crucify him. Heretic. Set the criminal free. Give us Jesus on a tree. Sick. Do you realize every pastor deals with this? Oh, pastor, you're a great teacher. I just love you, pastor. Praying for you. Then I do something, or one other pastor does something. You heretic. Oh, he should die. What kind of pastor is that? Come on, man. We're human. We're flawed. Just like you. You know, I served in Houston, Calvary Houston, for 20 years, almost. All different kinds of ministry. I went to other churches, Baptist churches, Pentecostal churches, all kinds of churches to do different outreaches. No problem. Not one problem. 20 years. Everyone loved me. I loved them. I become a senior pastor. All of a sudden, I got enemies. How does that work? You know how it works? You sign up for God's army. You stand at the pulpit. You get a big old target on you, and those snakes bite. Not good. Side note. Look at all the suffering Paul is enduring. Wait. He's suffering? Yeah, he's suffering. But wait. I went to a church where they said, when you're a child of God, you don't suffer. You're healed. You're rich. You're wealthy. You're blessed. Everything's shining. No, I'm sorry. This is Paul, the most godly guy next to Jesus that I can know of in the scripture. There's a couple others that are like him, but you get the idea. Suffering, humble, not prospering earthwise. He's prospering. When he gets to heaven, the number of crowns Paul will throw at Jesus' feet probably needs, a couple of trucks. Boop, 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 boop. Prosperity does not leave people to Christ. Prosperity does not lead people to salvation. When a Christian suffers while exhibiting unexplainable peace, that will lead someone to Christ. The wicked can prosper. But then when the wicked goes through a trial, the wicked have no peace. But a Christian can go through a trial and have peace. Now listen, if you're in a trial and you're struggling right now, I'm not saying you're wicked. What I am saying, when we struggle in a difficulty, in a storm, it's a sign of immaturity. It's a sign of a lack of faith. But that can all change when we submit to God. Paul was not a god, but he had the spirit of the living God inside of him. Look at it says, but after they had looked for a long time, they knew the snake. Dr. Luke was with Paul. Dr. Luke would know snakes and the poisonous effect. And you might be out there, if you are a person who likes animals like I am, and you watch Discovery Channel like I used to. I watched it all the time when I had it. I don't have cable, but I used to. I love Discovery. Then you would know what I know. What's that? That on the island of Malta, there are no venomous snakes. How does that work, Pastor? Well, I'll tell you how it works. You see, Paul got some Christians, got some people saved on that little island. And after Paul left, they were so insulted that this breed of snake tried to kill the man of God that they went out and wiped out every single one of those snakes off the island in name of Paul. That's why there's no venomous snakes on Malta. So there you go. Just in case you're one of those people that are that know your snakes. Okay. So let's look at the vaccine in verse 7 through 10. in that region, there was an estate of a leading citizen of the island whose name was Publius, who received and entertained us courteously for 3 days. Now, real quick, the name Publius, or Publius, could be a better pronunciation probably. We believe that that Publius was actually a title and not a name, because heaven forbid if a mom said, I think I'm going to name him Publius. He looks like a Publius. Oh, thanks, Mom. No, we are pretty sure that that's a title, like a governor or something like that. So he's a prominent, he's the official. Now, can you imagine? He entertains us courteously for 3 days. And you go, oh, great. No, no, no. There are 276 wet dudes. Can you imagine? Wives? Your husband goes, some strangers just stopped by and I thought we should feed them. Okay, dear, where are they? And you look out the door and there's 276 wetbacks. Wetbacks because they were in the water. Come on. So, I'm not wet fronts, wet all of them. They were all wet. Okay. Yeah, thank you. The other Hispanic is like, Pastor, look, you're treading. But 276 hungry, starving men for 3 days. You want to talk about a grocery bill, right? No doubt. No doubt Paul would preach the gospel, and he did. He did. I think there's a psalm written hundreds of years before Paul experienced this that almost describes Paul's situation to a T. In fact, I think it's written about Paul. Do me a favor. Turn over to Psalm 107. Psalm 107, verse 23 through 32. Listen to this. And those who go down to the sea in a ship, who do business on great waters, they see the works of the Lord, his wonders in the deep. For he commands and raises the stormy winds. He lifts up the waves of the sea. So listen, this is saying it's God's plan for the storm. And it is, you'll see. Hang on. And they mount up to heaven and they go down into the depths. Their souls melt because of trouble. Remember, they thought they were dead. They were freaking out. The angel had to say, chill, we got this, okay? They reel to and fro, stagger like drunken men. They're at their wit's end. Then they cry out to the Lord in their trouble. Remember, Paul said, guys, he prayed, he thanked God, he broke the bread, and he gave them all something to eat so they'd have their strength to swim to shore. Remember? But he gave thanks to God. When they cry out to the Lord in their trouble, he brings them out of their distress. He calms the storm so that the waves are still, and they are glad because they are quiet. So he guides them to their desired haven. Malta is a refuge. Remember, it means refuge. So he guides them to their desired refuge. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him in the assembly of the people and praise him in the company of elders. Publius is an elder. There are soldiers there who have authority. And you know Paul is preaching the gospel of Christ. Let's prove it. Watch. And it happened that the father of Publius laid sick of a fever, Daddy Publius, and dysentery. This is basically still a thing over there in Malta Island. It's called Malta fever. So, and it gives you dysentery. And I was going to tell you some stuff about that, but we'll keep moving on. Paul went into him and prayed and laid hands on him and healed him. So when this was done, the rest of those on the island who had other diseases, including this perhaps, also came and were healed. Now, real quick, think about those prisoners. They're going, They're saved. Yay, we made it. We made it through the storm. Just so they can go to Rome and die some horrific death at the hands of some gladiator. Or some lion. But they're sitting here and they're watching Paul and his faith and his humility and his service. Remember back in the previous chapter in verse 25, Acts 27, verse 25 and 26 said this. After the angel spoke to Paul, he says, "Therefore take heart, men, for I believe that God will be just as it was told me. However, we must run aground on a certain island." What island? I don't know, but there's one God has in store. It's a Malta island. It's a refuge. God had a plan. Not just for these prisoners to see Paul's faith, his humility, his servitude, his ability to heal and be healed and not to be hurt, but for the soldiers to see it and for the prisoners. Do you see how God's care for the villagers who don't know God, for the prisoners who are criminals, and for the soldiers who are hardened warriors? God cares about all of us. Now, I wonder if they said, "Well, you know, Paul, he said for us not to go, that it would be bad, and it turned out bad. You know, hey, maybe a lucky guess, right? But then, but then Paul said to eat because an angel told him that not one of us would die, and all 276 of us are on land. Well, maybe a lucky guess, right? Maybe. But then Paul was bitten by a viper, and there was no effect. Lucky again? But then Paul heals the sick villagers, all while preaching Christ. Paul is not lucky. They are blessed that they are hearing about the Lord Jesus Christ and how death is swallowed up in victory. So that they can go to Rome now, they can stand in that Colosseum, and they can proclaim, I belong to Jesus. Oh, death, where is your sting? No, when you kill me, centurion, when you kill me, gladiator, when you kill me, lion, I go to my reward. Do you see? Sometimes we know someone, or maybe it's you, who gets a bad health report from the doctor. The prognosis is not good. In fact, after this service, I have BCF. After that, I'm going to someone's house of someone who's not, doesn't look like they're going to make it. But I have people who call me and they say, we've been praying, and God doesn't answer. No, did you understand? When you pray for healing, God answers every single time. You're like, he does? Oh, yeah. How does that work? Here's how it works. You see, if you pray and God heals you physically or heals them physically, God answered. If he doesn't and he takes you home, then God healed you completely. And you're in glory. Death, where's your sting? Well, God doesn't answer. Oh, he does. Every single time. I got time. Real quick. I had this really sweet gentleman. Just a kind guy. He's struggling with some real anxiety issues. This was a few months ago. And he and his wife were like, we pray. And why doesn't God answer? I said, no. Are you saved? Yeah. You have faith in Christ? Uh-huh. Then he answered you a long time ago when he put God's Spirit in you. You're just not believing that the Spirit of the living God is in you. That is why you fear. And he looked at me with tears in his eyes. He goes, man, I never thought of it like that. God answers our prayers. We just want him to jump through our hoops. But here in this situation, these prisoners can go back and say, oh, death, where's your sting? Doesn't matter what happens to me. I've been born again, and I have the Lord in my life. Now, back to the prisoners real quick. We're not told how many were saved, but we know this. God always has a remnant. It's possible that maybe some of them didn't believe. I want you to understand this. Seeing miracles won't save people. Miracles only point to validation, not salvation. Listen, there are some people who live for the next miracle. They want a miracle. They want a miracle. Jesus Christ said it's a wicked and adulterous generation that seeks a sign. Remember, Jesus had healed many, 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 and they still said, crucify him. Here, we can do miracles. We've seen miracles. I've seen people have incredible miracles in their life and still turn away from God. Miracles don't save people. Putting your trust in Christ, living for him, wanting to die for him, dying to yourself for him, that leads to salvation. Trusting in the cross of Christ. Listen, when you put your trust in the cross, that's it. You're saved. The rest of that comes naturally, not because you have to, but because you put your trust in the cross. Verse 10, and they also honored us in many ways. And when we departed, they provided such things as were necessary. So they're like, you healed us. You weren't damaged by a sneaky snake. You survived a storm. We're going to bless you on your way out. And probably many of them received Christ. Real quick, I'm going to close with this. Don't close your hearts and don't close your Bibles. Remember, I told you in 1 Corinthians 15 is where, O death is your victory. Where, O death, is your sting? It's from 1 Corinthians 15. Let's read it in context. I want to show you where that's nestled because it's really apropos for where we are today. So turn with me to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50 through 58, and this will be our closing verse. For I declare to you, brothers and sisters, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Nor does the perishable inherit imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in the flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself in imperishable, and mortal in immortality. When the perishable has been clothed in imperishable and mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of sin and death and the power of sin is in the law. But thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, here you go, because of that. Because death is swallowed up in victory. Because when we die, we go to a reward prayerfully. He says this. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Move you from the call of God. Watch this. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord. Because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. It's unto glory because the Lord Jesus Christ has swallowed up death and its sting and the grave. It does no longer hold us. We go from glory to glory. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for loving us, caring for us, saving us. Thank you for providing the only way to salvation is by surrendering our heart to you, Lord Jesus. And so, Lord, today, I don't know. I don't know if there's anyone here who needs to receive Christ. I don't know if there's anyone here who needs to evaluate whether they are going to hear, well done, thy good and faithful servant, or whether they're going to hear, oh, you're here. Great, come in. But God, I just pray that we would make our calling and election sure. I pray that we would yield ourselves to your spirit. And I pray if there is anyone here who is not saved, who has not received Christ, that they would surrender their heart to the cross of Christ, to the finished work, and know that there's nothing left to be done but just to fall in love with you. And then love will work its way out in the things we say, do, and think. Father, we love you, praise you, honor you. In Jesus' name. And all God's children said, let's stand, sing one last song.